Good afternoon. As she said, the remaining speakers are primarily from USDA and several is from NRCS in particular out of USDA. And what I want to cover during this part of the program is what we're doing on a practical basis to get nitrogen stewardship adopted over the landscape. And I'll get into why we're doing that and how this fits into the program. But we have several team players here, in addition to myself, in the back of the room, Dana Ashford. She's actually our National Nutrient Management Specialist, and she will be leading this effort up through NRCS. We have Adam Chambers in our Oregon office, works on air quality, and then Joel Larson with USDA. The main thing that I've got here, it's not a great scientific presentation, but how this, I want to share with you how this whole framework that USDA put together to address climate change and what farmers can do to adapt to climate change to improve not only their bottom line, but also the environment. So I want to kind of tell you what those 10 building blocks are, what NRCS is doing specifically, and I really want to emphasize that last bullet up there, what we're doing with partnerships, because this whole thing, if it's going to work, is going to have to be a partnership. This isn't just a government-run thing. This affects everybody, and everybody has to get involved if we're going to have a positive effect. So it was probably back in maybe 2013, 2014, there was a lot of staff work done by different agencies within USDA, and this was led by USDA, but to put a framework together that would address climate change and what we could do to address some of the greenhouse gas emissions that are affected by climate change. But in April 23rd, 2015, Secretary Vilsack officially announced this program and kind of laid out what the 10 building blocks are and what we're going to do with each one of those. But I want to say that the plan is really designed to assist farmers, ranchers, and forest owners on how to better manage those resources to reduce greenhouse gases, particularly nitrogen emissions, carbon, improve carbon storage. And another part of the effort that I won't really get into today, but it's to increase the generation of clean, renewable energy. So these 10 building blocks, there's four of them that involve forestry and wood products. There's the promotion of wood products, the stewardship of federal forests, the private forest growth and retention, and also urban forest. And then there's at least two involved with livestock, one for livestock partnerships and another one for grazing of range and pasture land. And then conservation of the sensitive lands, that would be like the CRP and some of those areas like that were talked about earlier. And the one I'll focus on is the nitrogen stewardship, but we also have an effort on soil health, the energy generation and efficiency. And so there's a whole gamut of things that work together in this framework to bring about adapting to climate change. But I really want to stress this, that with each one of these building blocks, there's nothing that's going to be required of anybody. This is all being put together on a voluntary basis. And the application and the practical application of this is all on a voluntary basis. So that's going to involve some, what I would say, conservation marketing skills of getting the message out to the landowners, what this can do for their bottom line, and then what it can do for the environment. In some cases, we will have some incentive-based help to get some of these practices on the land. And they're all focused on multiple economic and environmental benefits. Virtually everything that we're talking about is not only economical for the producer, but it's going to be environmentally good for all of us. And it's going to have to be set up in such a way, and it is set up in such a way, that it meets the needs of the producer. And it's the other big part that I mentioned earlier, that this is not going to work unless we can really build strong partnerships among the public sector, the private sector, and the NGOs. And the last part of this framework, it's put together on metrics that are measurable, that we will know when we hit the mark. Okay, these are those 10 building blocks just in a table form. The one I'm going to focus on is the nitrogen stewardship, but you can see what our goal is by 2025. This is what the goal is 1 million metric tons of CO2 equivalent that we want to stop emitting into the air. And for nitrogen, we have this 7 million metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalent. I have to tell you a quick story. When they first had this framework put together, they said, put this together so we achieve this 7 million metric tons by 2025, and I thought that was only 7 million metric tons over that time. I thought the math worked out pretty well. And then I said, no, that's by 2025, we want 7 million tons every year. I go, oh, my God. But we came up with a plan to get that, and I think it's going to work. But all told, if everybody meets their mark by 2025, we'll have a savings of 111 million metric tons of CO2 equivalent reduction in greenhouse gases. And what this translates into, it's the equivalent of taking 25 million cars off the road or offsetting emissions produced by nearly 11 million homes. So it is a significant amount. This is the greenhouse gases. You know, we're interested in the CO2, nitrous oxide, and methane. And the part that I'm going to focus on is right over here in the lower right, where we're talking about the fertility managements on crop and pasture. As we look at the sources of greenhouse gas emissions, for methane, agriculture is a major player there. And especially when it gets into nitrogen oxide, agriculture is a major player between the production areas and the manure management technologies. Carbon dioxide, I was kind of surprised that agriculture didn't show up in this chart. I can't believe it's just all others. But the biggest issue that we're facing or going to focus on here is the nitrogen oxide emissions. So as I briefly mentioned before, our goal is we want to reduce by 2025 7 million metric tons of CO2 equivalent per year by 2025. To accomplish that, I told you the math got a little more difficult, but we really need to change management on and maintain 64 million acres under improved nitrogen management to achieve this goal. And when you start thinking about 64 million, that's more cropland than is in a lot of states. So this is going to be a monumental task. We're going to, at least as we start out, focus on the corn production areas. And there's a couple reasons for this. One, corn is one of the largest nitrogen users. The other thing is it's kind of a geographical or a demographic thing, is that we also have more crop consultants, certified crop advisors in these corn production areas that we can rely on to help us out. So as we talk about nitrogen stewardship, it's synonymous with nitrogen management. And our first thing is, what can we do to improve nitrogen use efficiency. And we define that efficiency as a ratio of how much the plant takes up in to the total amount that you applied in your fertilizer. So the more efficient we can get, we're going to have less going up into the air through nitrous oxide, less going down through the soil and leaching. But as everything that we're always trying to do to get better here, we always have these reducers in action. There's constant things going on affecting the leaching of nitrogen, the erosion of nitrogen through the erosion of the soil, surface runoff, ammonia volatilization, denitrification. These are constantly going on, and we have to manage around these reducers. To do that, we use the old technique of the 4-hour nutrient management, putting things on at the right time, right place, right rate, and the right source. And this all comes down to, and it's going to vary by the soil you're on, by the climate you're in, and so on, but we have to do everything we can to get it closer to the time that the plant can use it, the soil can assimilate it. We need to constantly work on better forms of rate and placement, sources and timing. And then in some cases, we may have to have enhanced efficiency fertilizers or nitrification inhibitors or slow-release fertilizers. In some cases, those are going to be very important. So what our whole goal here is to actually get every crop and pasture farm into a continuous nutrient management plan, not just focused on nitrogen, but focused on all the nutrients they need to apply, and do it under a 4-hour system. And this is going to require some marketing and conservation marketing, I'll call it. So as we look at nitrogen efficiency in the 4 hours, we briefly mentioned this, we have to reduce erosion, keep the soil in place, keep the water in place, and then do everything we can to get the right rate, the right timing, and I will say not just the right timing, but the right timings, and methods of application, and using the right end source. And we, as I mentioned, may get into some of these efficiency products that might include slower controlled release fertilizers, nitrification inhibitors, as well as urease inhibitors. The beauty of this whole system is when you put this together on a farming operation and you develop this good nutrient management plan, nitrogen efficiency is a win-win for the producer. They will end up saving money. They will be able to improve their yields. They'll have improved return on investment. And we're all going to end up with better air and water quality. It's a win-win situation. Okay, talk is cheap. We still have to get the job done. And this is where partnerships come in. If we just look at what NRCS can do, we have some capacity and some funds that we can make a payment to the producer to hire a consultant to put a nutrient management plan together. And that's what we're talking about right here. We also have some funds, although much reduced, where we can contract directly with the private sector to do nutrient management plans with producers. And even to a smaller extent, our own people can develop nutrient management plans. But we don't have that many people. It's not going to be that much. So we have a huge challenge. If I looked at what it would take for NRCS to do this work and to pay for it all, the bottom line, it would be $3.2 billion. And you know that's not in the federal budget. So here we go. We got to rely on the private sector. The beauty of this is the agribusiness out there, the ones that are selling chemicals and fertilizers and so on, they have the same clients that we do. They have technologies and qualified people to develop these plans. So what we want to do, and it may take some funding, but we want to start partnering with these people to do nutrient management plans. And we need to sell this to the producers to make them want to go and get these consultants to help them develop these plans. Our metrics, it's going to be what we can report through what we call our 590 standard, our nutrient management standard, how many acres and where. But the private sector, we're looking to develop a private portal where they can go in and where a certified nutrient management specialist, like a certified crop advisor, once they develop the plan with somebody, they applied it, they can also go in there and report those acres. The beauty of this is that we can identify then really what the private sector is doing to address this issue as well as what the government is doing. It's a partnership. So just in summary, we're going to have a lot more reliance on the private sector to get this job done, with a lot of emphasis by the private sector and us on the 4R planning and application. We need to sell this nutrient management planning with the producers and then record those acres. Thank you.